What if the mind could go where the body cannot? What if we could reach out into the unknown, seeing distant places, hidden spaces, and even alternate times, all without moving a muscle? Remote viewing. It sounds like science fiction, yet some claim it's not only possible, but has been used in military and scientific circles. So, what if the answer changes everything we know? Hey everyone, welcome back to Divergent History, where we dive into the biggest what-if questions of the past, present, and future. Today, we're venturing into the mysterious realm of remote viewing. I'll admit, this one's as intriguing as it is strange. And as always, my skeptical friend Wendell is here to make sure we keep our feet on the ground.
Oh, great. So, we're talking about people seeing things with their eyes closed. What's next? Finding Atlantis by daydreaming.
All right, Wendell, I get it. It sounds out there, but some really interesting people and institutions thought there was something to this. So let's dive into this world of psychic spies, secret government projects, and some claims that are hard to ignore. First things first, what is remote viewing? So basically, it's the ability to see things without being physically present. No cameras, no satellites, just the power of the mind. The idea is that with practice, you can send your awareness across vast distances, maybe even through time, and pick up on details as if you were there in person. Now, remote viewing isn't something New Age thinkers came up with. During the Cold War, government agencies around the world funded serious research into it. They were looking for ways to gain intelligence, locate hidden bases, and even predict events. This wasn't a casual side project. There were real budgets and teams dedicated to this.
Let me guess. They were hoping people could just close their eyes, skip the paperwork, and save on travel costs.
One of the best-known remote viewing efforts was the Stargate Project, a top-secret initiative funded by the U.S. government launched in the 1970s. Stargate employed psychics, soldiers, and scientists to gather intel on Soviet bases, locate missing individuals, and even get a peek at alien tech, if you believe the rumors. And this was serious business. These viewers were given very little information, maybe just coordinates, or a vague prompt and asked to describe what they saw. Amazingly, sometimes they'd end up sketching layouts, locations, and objects that were later confirmed to exist.
So, they doodled some buildings and maybe got lucky. Sounds like a lot of guesswork with a sprinkle of luck.
Ingo Swann is a name that comes up a lot in remote viewing circles. Swann was an artist and one of the most successful remote viewers in the Stargate Project. His career included some pretty wild claims, like projecting his consciousness to Jupiter and, yes, even the far side of the moon. One of his most famous accomplishments, you ask? Well, Swann claimed to see rings around Jupiter, something astronomers hadn't even confirmed at that time. Years later, when the Voyager mission finally made it to Jupiter, scientists confirmed that there was indeed a faint ring around the planet.
A lucky guess? Or maybe he was just watching the Science Channel before bed.
Well, maybe. But he didn't stop there, Wendell. Swann also claimed to see structures, activity, and even beings on the moon. He described what looked like mining operations, machinery, and structures that were far from natural. And this wasn't just wild imagination. This guy was employed by the CIA and paid well for his skills. I created an in-depth video on his accounts of the activity on the moon and included the link down below in the comment section.
Nice plug. Don't think we don't know what you just did there.
Now, here's where things get even stranger. There are a handful of famous remote viewing cases that still stir up debate today. Let's dive into a few of them and see why they've stuck around. In the early 1970s, a remote viewer was asked to locate a Soviet bomber that had gone down somewhere in the wilderness. Intelligence agencies had no idea where it was, and the area was way too vast to search without some lead. This remote viewer, given only the mission goal, described the exact terrain and features surrounding the crash site. When a search team followed the viewer's description, they found the bomber exactly where it was supposed to be. Now, that's not the kind of thing you can just guess. The viewer had specific landmarks, elevations, and even nearby water features. For something that was supposed to be deep in the middle of nowhere, that's pretty impressive.
Or maybe they just had a thing for downed bombers and wilderness landscapes. Right place, right time.
Then there's the case of Pat Price, another famous remote viewer who worked with the CIA. Price was a former police officer with an uncanny ability to sketch layouts of hidden or classified sites. In one instance, he described a top-secret Soviet facility in remarkable detail. He sketched out building layouts, the placement of specific equipment, and even detailed underground storage areas. U.S. intelligence later verified that many of his descriptions were accurate. Now think about that for a second. Price was describing underground facilities he couldn't possibly have seen, and he was getting it right. If that's not strange, I don't know what is.
Either that, or he had the world's most reliable insider sources. But hey, credit where it's due.
During the Iranian hostage crisis of 1979, remote viewers were asked to locate and report on the hostages' conditions. They provided detailed descriptions of the rooms, the layout of the embassy, and the movements of guards. Some of these reports were corroborated by on-the-ground intelligence later, giving some legitimacy to the viewers' insights. Now, you'd think this would be hard to verify without direct access, but the descriptions were specific. They weren't just vague impressions. There were details that aligned with the actual layout of the embassy, which intel later confirmed.
All right. So they nailed down a few room layouts, but couldn't they have just gone with the standard hostage layout? Dimly lit rooms, locked doors, and grumpy guards?
Well, maybe, but the alignment of details makes it harder to brush off as lucky guesses. And here's your real curveball. Swan once claimed to remote view Mars. He described towering structures, unusual terrain, and even what he believed were signs of life. This wasn't just imagination. Swan drew sketches and took detailed notes on Martian geography that he claimed to have seen. And he wasn't the only one. Other remote viewers claimed to have seen ancient Martian civilizations and structures. It's one of the wildest claims out there, but it's led to some interesting theories about Mars and our distant past.
So now we've got remote viewers seeing cities on Mars? Might as well go all in and say they found Starbucks up there.
It's certainly out there, I'll give you that. But these accounts have people asking if there's more to Mars than meets the eye. Now, it's one thing to hear these stories, but what does science have to say? So remote viewing has been tested, sometimes successfully, but not without controversy. Studies on extrasensory perception, ESP, suggest that results might exceed random chance, but skeptics argue that it could be due to flawed methods, selective memory, or outright bias. For example, Some experiments with ESP and remote viewing show small but consistent results that seem hard to explain. These aren't huge successes, but rather subtle findings that have kept researchers interested.
Small enough to say it's all a coincidence, but big enough to keep the funding coming, right?
Well, that's one way to look at it, Wendell. But it's also possible that science hasn't yet developed the tools to measure or explain what's happening with remote viewing. After all, there was a time when radio waves were invisible and we didn't have a clue they existed. As intriguing as remote viewing is, it's only fair to take a step back and look at some of the reasons people are skeptical about it. After all, a balanced perspective helps us understand the full picture. So let's dive into what critics and scientists say might debunk the entire concept of remote viewing. First, the scientific community has had a long-standing skepticism regarding psychic phenomena, including remote viewing. One of the core issues is that remote viewing is notoriously hard to replicate in a controlled environment. Scientists like Dr. Richard Wiseman, a well-known psychologist and skeptic, argue that for remote viewing to be accepted scientifically, it would need to produce consistently reliable results that can be reproduced by different researchers under standardized conditions. Fair enough. Now, this lack of consistent results is a significant hurdle. Dr. Wiseman has stated, if remote viewing worked as reliably as proponents claim, it would be one of the most important discoveries in human history. And we can't disagree with that, can we, Wendell? But every time we test it under controlled conditions, it doesn't hold up. Another criticism focuses on confirmation bias and selective memory. Skeptics argue that remote viewing successes are often exaggerated, while failures are ignored or rationalized away. Dr. Michael Shermer, a cognitive psychologist and founder of the Skeptic Society, explains that selective memory plays a significant role in how we perceive events like remote viewing. When people focus only on successful hits and disregard the many misses, it can create an illusion of accuracy. Shermer points out that our brains are wired to detect patterns and assign meaning, even when none exists. So, a remote viewer might accurately describe a location 1 out of 10 times, but proponents might focus only on that single success while ignoring the 9 failures.
So, they're basically playing a numbers game and counting on us to forget the times they totally missed the mark?
Exactly. And skeptics argue that this tendency to highlight successes over failures makes it seem like remote viewing works better than it actually does. Even agencies that once took an interest in remote viewing, like the CIA, eventually pulled back due to inconclusive results. The CIA initially funded the Stargate project, hoping to gain an intelligence advantage. But after years of research, they concluded that remote viewing didn't provide actionable, consistent results. In a report following the project's end, the CIA described remote viewing as unreliable and ultimately determined that it didn't justify further investment. Dr. Ray Hyman, a psychologist who evaluated the Stargate project's findings, concluded that there was no clear evidence that remote viewing produced results beyond what would be expected by chance. He said, despite its allure, the evidence simply does not support the claims of reliable and repeatable remote viewing capabilities.
Sounds like the CIA eventually decided they'd rather spend their budget on satellite imagery and good old-fashioned intel gathering.
Psychologists also argue that suggestibility may play a role in why people believe remote viewing is real. Studies have shown that people who are more open to suggestion or who have strong imaginations may convince themselves they're seeing something that isn't there. This is especially true in cases where remote viewers are given subtle cues were primed with details about a target location beforehand. Dr. Susan Blackmore, a psychologist and expert in paranormal phenomena, suggests that self-delusion and suggestion often drive psychic experiences, including remote viewing. Blackmore notes, when people believe in a phenomenon, they become more likely to interpret ambiguous images or vague impressions as meaningful. This can lead to an experience that feels real, even if it isn't based on any objective reality. So, in other words, a person who already believes in remote viewing might interpret random shapes or thoughts as solid information, even if there's nothing to back it up. The Ganzfeld experiment, one of the most famous tests for ESP and remote viewing, aimed to measure psychic abilities in a controlled setting by isolating participants from external stimuli. However, results have been inconclusive at best. While some studies showed small positive results, others showed no statistical significance. Skeptics argue that the success rates could be due to statistical anomalies rather than any real psychic abilities. Dr. Charles Honorton, one of the leading proponents of the Ganzfeld experiment, even admitted that while the findings were intriguing, they weren't definitive. Without consistent, replicable results, skeptics argue that the evidence just isn't there.
So, even when they set up the tests as scientifically as possible, it's still just a shot in the dark. That's not very reassuring if we're hoping to find solid proof.
Finally, skeptics often point out that techniques like cold reading, where someone makes general statements that could apply to almost anyone, can mimic the results of remote viewing. Dr. Ray Hyman describes cold reading as a way for people to pick up on subtle cues or project their own thoughts into vague descriptions, leading them to believe they're seeing something specific when it's really just broad speculation. So, what we end up with is a situation where viewers may not be seeing anything extraordinary. Instead, they're relying on general impressions that they, or those interpreting their results, turn into something more concrete than it really is. So, is remote viewing real? Well, there's no shortage of experts who argue that it isn't. From inconsistent results to psychological explanations and self-delusion, the scientific community remains largely unconvinced. While the stories are fascinating and there are certainly some surprising cases, remote viewing hasn't yet passed the rigorous standards of reproducibility and evidence that science demands.
Guess it's back to the drawing board, or maybe just a clearer view of reality.
But here's the thing. Even if remote viewing isn't a science, the mysteries, the stories, and the possibilities it raises keep us wondering. And that's what makes this topic so endlessly intriguing. There's a part of us that wants it to be true, even if we know the odds aren't in its favor.
Or maybe we just like a good story to keep things interesting.
Either way, folks, remote viewing has captivated minds for decades. Believers and skeptics alike can agree on one thing. The human mind is remarkable and a mysterious thing. Thank you for joining us on this journey through the unknown. If you've got thoughts, theories, or questions about remote viewing, drop them in the comments below. We love hearing from you, and who knows, maybe your ideas will lead us to our next big question. Now, don't forget to subscribe, like, and keep those curious minds engaged. I know you hear it a million times, but those small gestures really will make a difference for channels small like mine.
And remember, folks, question everything, even me.
That's right, Wendell. Until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and know that you are truly appreciated.